John chapter 15, John chapter 15. Jesus has been teaching his disciples, and they are on their way to the garden, arrived at the garden perhaps, and Jesus has taught them about the abiding relationship that he has with them and how they can bear fruit. And Jesus has, we got to look at this last week, this new relationship, this new intimacy, as Jesus has referred to his disciples as friends. And he shared a little bit of the context of that and what that means. And now we're going to pick up right where we left off last time, there with verse 17. We're going to start reading at verse 18, and we're going to read down through verse 25. So John chapter 15, verses 18 through 25. Let's read verse 18 and 19 together, and then I'll read the rest of it, and you can follow along. John chapter 15, verse 18. Ready? Begin. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Jesus continues, remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. We're going to preach tonight a little bit about this hatred of the world. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Let us pray. Father, how good it is to be back in your house. Once again, opening your word. Father, the fellowship's been sweet. The singing has been marvelous. Father, truly, we'd rather have Jesus than anything. But Father, choosing Jesus also means that we choose the ire of this world. And Father, though unintended, Father, this world hates us because they hate you. Father, I pray that, Lord, we would understand the relationship that we have with this world. Father, when you saved us and you translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, Father, the world hates us. They've marked us as the enemy. And yet, Father, they're not our enemy. Father, we want to see them saved. We want them to know the truth. We want them to know the love of God. Father, I pray that we would have a right understanding of the world. And Father, I pray for each and every one of these young people. Father, as they grow up, as they'll feel the pull of this world, and they'll feel the friendship of this world, Father, I pray that, Lord, the relationship that they have with Christ will be very clear. And they'll understand that they cannot be friend to both. Father, I pray that, Lord, you would help us to grow in our understanding of spiritual truths. Father, we ask that you would help us. Spirit of God, I pray that you would fill me and use me in this hour. Father, not because I'm worthy, but because these your people need the word of God. Father, I pray that you would bless. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week we got to preach a little bit about this friendship with the Son of God and what exactly this means to know and to recognize this love that he has for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and how if we're his friends, we love his friends. If we're his friends, we desire to fulfill his wishes, his commands, and we understand this intimacy. We understand his heart, and so we understand that we have been chosen. We've been called to go and to bear fruit, and we preached a little bit about that, but Christ here in our text wants to make sure that his disciples understand the repercussions of this friendship with Christ. Friendship with Christ means hostility from this world. You know, to become a friend of Christ is to change your love. It's to change your loyalties. You know, I asked somebody yesterday if they were a friend of Christ. He had this thought on my mind, and well, sort of. How can you sort of be a friend of Christ? You know, and that's where, to be honest with you, that's where a large majority of the people find themselves. They think that they can sit on the fence. They can be a friend both to the world and a friend to Christ and to Christians, and they can somehow make everybody love him. But you see, that flies in the face of what Jesus told us as his disciples. Look again at verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. The world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So the first statement I want to make tonight is very simple. The world really does hate Christians. The world really does hate Christians. Now, one of the accusations that is leveled at Bible-believing Christians is that we suffer from a persecution complex. You know, they claim that this idea that Christians are really being persecuted and suffering persecution is nonsense. And they say that the only reason that we see persecution is because we're looking for it, sometimes even asking for it. And so, is this persecution complex imaginary? Not if you believe the words of Christ. I have here an article by an apostate Christian, one of the best-selling Christian authors during the 2010s. Her name was Rachel Held Evans, and the title of her article is For the Sake of the Gospel, Drop the Persecution Complex. And of course, in this, she goes on to make statements such as the persecution complex is not based in reality, and how because Christians, professed Christians, number in the majority in America, that there really is no persecution of Christians, and that you know, Christians claiming that they're persecuted minimalizes the very real suffering of others. And she uses, for examples of real suffering, this persecution against sexual minorities, and if you understand what I mean by that term, in America, and that Christians really aren't being persecuted. Well, you see, I want to remind you, the world has no problem with another Jesus. The world has no problem with another gospel. But Jesus said, the world hates me. The Jesus Christ, as revealed in the Word of God, he is hated by this world. You see, in verse 18, Jesus says, if the world hates you. Now, I want to point out that this word, if, this conditional word, Jesus isn't saying that maybe this will happen. If there's any doubt as to whether or not Jesus is speaking in absolutes, all you got to do is get to the last phrase of verse 19 when he says, therefore the world, what? Hateth you. Okay? Jesus is speaking in very clear absolutes. Yes, the world really does hate Christians. You see, if the world finally figures out that you do not belong to them, they do not control you, they do not hold sway over you, they will hate you. You see, and I want to remind all of us, especially the young people here tonight, that you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose. Either you're going to choose to be friends with the world, or you're going to choose friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul said it to Timothy this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Let me stop right there. How many of you here tonight want to live godly in Christ Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay, maybe I should have read the rest of the verse before I had you raise your hand, because this is what the rest of the verse says. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, this persecution is certainly very real. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 3. The world really does hate Christians. 1 John chapter 3. Now, in the context of the love that we possess as children of God, the love that we are to show, we see this concept, this of the hatred of the world being mentioned. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain. By the way, did Cain love his brother? No. Okay. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Verse 13, if you're there, would you read it with me, please? Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You see, the point here is clear. You see, how do you expect the lost man to act? Cain was of the wicked one. So what does that mean? His works are going to be wicked. Abel, his brother, was righteous because he was a righteous one. You see, marvel not, my brethren, John writes, if the world hates you. Listen. Don't be surprised when a lost man acts like a lost man. You see, it's simply because of their nature. It is in them. There's only, as God looks at this world, there are only two kinds of people in this world. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You know, we read it this morning in the context of the Lord's Supper. Paul said, listen, either there is a place for you, either you belong at the Lord's table or you belong at the table of devils. You see, either you're lost or you're saved, and don't be surprised when a lost man acts like they're lost, because it's part of their very nature. It's in their nature. You know, somebody was telling me recently, I can't remember who it was, but you know, another baby raccoon story. How many people have tried to take in a baby raccoon? And several of you have. I wasn't actually asking, but thank you for responding. You know, they take in the baby raccoon and they try to show it all this love and all of this attention. But when it gets to be about a year old or so, they escape, or the raccoon bites them or scratches them. And all of the loving attention that you can give a raccoon doesn't change who it is, doesn't change what it is. You see, lost humanity hates saved humanity. It's part of their nature. Jesus said they're their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. And they act like their father. And listen, friendship with Jesus Christ means that you are loved by Christ and you are loved by the Father. And what a friend we have in Jesus. But listen, I want to remind you, as Jesus is reminding us here in John chapter 15, that friendship with Christ has repercussions with this lost world. It also means the hatred of this world. Let me say this next. The world hates Christians because they hate Christ. Jesus says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. The world hates him. The world hates Christ. This was true in Jesus' day. Yes, Jesus had several disciples that loved him and that were loyal, other followers that ministered to him. But by and large, of the Jews, they hated Christ. He came unto his own. His own received him not. They shouted, "Crucify him, crucify." Jesus says here in this passage, quoting the prophet Isaiah, the Psalms, they hated me without a cause. You see, this was true in Jesus' day. This was true historically. This was true perpetually. They hated Christ in the first century. They hated Christ in America in the 17th century. They hated the true Christ throughout the 1800s, the first half of the 1900s. They've hated Christ since I've been alive. It is still true today. The world hates Christians because they hate Christ. Now, there are a lot of professing Christians today that believe that what Christians have is a PR problem, a public relations problem. You know, if Christians would just kind of repackage their message, if they would just simply give the world a little more attention, if the Christians would just show the world how much we really are just like them, if Christians would just try harder to be relatable, and Christians would show how much we already have in common, if Christians would just show that they too like to have a lot of fun, they're fun to be around, they're likable, they're congenial. I want to ask you tonight, did Jesus have a PR problem? You know, Jesus was absolutely perfect in every way. You know, Jesus didn't die on the cross because he didn't have a good agent. He didn't have a PR staff that could promote him and get the message out about who he really was and what he could really do. Listen, my friend, I want to remind you, Jesus was absolutely perfect in every way, and yet they hated him, and they hated him without cause. And Jesus says, that hatred for me is going to spill over on you. He was perfect in love, and yet they hated him. He was perfect in judgment and forgiveness and mercy, and yet they hated him. He was perfect in speech. He never gaffed. He never had words that he had to explain or apologize for, and they hated him. He was perfect in his attitude. He was perfect in his motives. He was perfect in his actions, yet they hated him. He was perfect in his gentleness. He was perfect in his firmness, and yet they hated him. And see, the reason is because the root of their hatred grows from their unregenerate heart. They hated him, as Jesus said, without a cause. Psalm 35, verse 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Psalm 69, verse 4, they hate me without a cause more. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. See, Jesus quotes the scriptures, they hated me without a cause. You see, the world hates the Christian because they hate the Christ. The world hates Christians, let me say this next, because Christians are not of the world. Christians are not of the world. Look again at John 15, 19. Would you read it with me, please? John 15, verse 19, ready? If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You see, I want to remind us, it's not that the world is incapable of love. You see, Jesus says that who the world loves, they're very choosy. The world loves its own. And the moment you got saved, the Bible says there was a transformation that took place. And no longer are you a part of this world. See, I want to remind us that salvation is more than just getting your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's more than just being properly, proper documentation in heaven. You see, this salvation is a transformation. This salvation, the Bible says, makes you a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you see, the world hates the Christian because the Christian is no longer a part of this world. One of the things the world hates about Christians, what the world hates about Christians could be summed up in one word, light. Light. See, the Christian has a certainty. And when they speak with authority. You know, if I'm asked, where did we come from? You know, I don't have to conjecture. Well, billions and No. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, we speak with certainty. Where do we come from? Okay, when does life begin? Life begins at conception. Yeah, all of this, this legislation that's being bantered about, and again, I'm for every effort to protect unborn babies. But when does life begin? It doesn't begin when they take their first breath or when they have a first recorded response to pain or a first heart. No. Life begins at conception. Conception. You see, what is the purpose of life? Well, the purpose of our life is not to eat, drink, and be... No. The purpose of our life is to bring glory to God. We were created to glorify Him. And what happens after we die? Well, the Bible tells us there's only two destinations. And it's not in the ground. It's not to return to ashes or to reincarnation. No, my friend, the Bible says that both the just and the unjust will be resurrected. And the just will be given eternal life. The unjust, eternal damnation. And yet this world stumbles around in the dark. And they conjecture and they make their inferences and they create their postulates and they try to create a little bit of light by getting everybody on the same page and creating a little bit of solidarity and try to silence dissenting voices and gathering a majority. And listen, it's all useless because they have no light, and the world hates the Christian because the Christian is not of this world. Jesus spoke those words in John chapter 3. Turn back there with me, would you please? John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, would you read it with me, please? For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. See, the world hates the Christian because we're no longer a part of this world. No longer do we grope in darkness. Now we shine the light of God's Word. We shine the light of Jesus Christ into this dark world. And the Bible says very clearly the world hates that light. Hates that light. And hates the Christian who is that light. Let me say this next. The world hates those who identify with Christ. The world hates those who identify with Christ. In verse 21, Jesus says, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake." See, as a Christian, we bear His name. Now, I've said before, it'd be nice if we could, help, somehow quantify those who call themselves a Christian. See, anybody can pick up the label and call themselves a Christian. You know, the apostate Rachel Held Evans that I mentioned her blog post a few moments ago. You know, anybody can call themselves a Christian. But you see, I want to remind you, as a Christian, we bear His name. You know, and it makes no sense. You say, Pastor, I don't get it. I can't grasp it. It makes no sense that they hate men and women who are trying to be good. It makes no sense that they hate men and women who are trying to be honest and loving and kind and generous. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. You remember the Beatitudes? You know, Jesus described Christians, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he described the Christian as those that mourn and those that are meek and those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness and are those that are merciful and those that are pure in heart and those that are peacemakers. And you say, Pastor, why would the world hate someone who is meek and someone who is merciful and someone who's pure in heart and someone who's hungry to do righteousness? And you see, Jesus said that. The very next verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, he has another blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Why? For my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You see, they persecuted the prophets. And Jesus roundly condemned the Pharisees. He said, you build monuments to the prophets. You build sepulchers to the prophets. And yet your fathers are the ones that killed the prophets. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Amos and Micah and Zechariah. They were slain. The prophets were slain. You see, Jesus said the world hates those that identify with Christ. Another thing we need to say about from our text is Jesus reminds us that we're not greater than He is. Look at verse 20. Verse 20. Jesus says, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Now stop right there. Now Jesus is calling them to remember something that He had spoken. If you're just reading straight through, you would have read it about 10 minutes earlier in John's gospel. He said it in chapter 13. Let's turn back there. Let's read it. John chapter 13. Look at verse 16. John chapter 13. Verse 16, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, the application, the context of the first time that Jesus said the servant is not greater than his Lord, Jesus has just wrapped up a very poignant illustration. They were arguing amongst themselves about who is the greatest, so Jesus stoops down and washes their feet. And Jesus goes on to say the servant is not greater than his master. The servant is not greater than his Lord. You see, the master washes feet, then the servant should be willing to wash feet. Now, I want to remind us the application Jesus makes in John chapter 15 is completely different. Same truth. Much, much broader application. You see, not only is this true in service, that the servant should not be unwilling to do something that the master was willing to do because the servant is not greater than his Lord. You see, Jesus makes the point that the servant is not greater than the Lord in suffering. Should the master be hated and the servant be loved? Well, that doesn't make sense. You see, Should the master be rejected and the servant be accepted and celebrated? Should the master have to suffer and the servant be blessed? You see, Jesus is making it very clear that you and I are not to expect better treatment than what Jesus received when He was here on this earth. You and I shouldn't desire better treatment than Jesus. By the way, let me say this. You shouldn't want better treatment. You shouldn't want to be loved by someone who hates him. You shouldn't desire to be accepted by a world that rejects him. to be applauded by a world that thinks him to be a fool. Listen, I don't want to be treated better than my Savior. And you can call it a persecution complex if you like, but I stand with Jesus, and if you hate him, you can hate me too. Now, fellas, let me ask you, is it okay to someone loves you and speaks highly of you and praises you and have nothing good to say about your wife? They love you, but they hate your wife. Criticize her, slander her. Are you going to be close to a person like that? You see, you can take that and you can apply that to various relationships, a parent-child relationship or a friend relationship. Listen, you cannot be close to someone. You cannot love someone and be friends with someone who hates the one that you love. And by the way, all of our relations, all of our earthly relationships don't even compare to our relationship with Christ. You know, Jesus, again, to remind us, he's speaking on, about the ramifications of being a friend of Christ. And listen, if they hate him, but they love you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. You know, and most likely, it's you're not clear about your relationship with him. They hate you. Notice what Jesus says, for my name's sake. See, you know what Jesus, another point of, that Jesus is making is, listen, it's not because of who you are. It's because they hate me. Don't take it personal. You know, we see this several places in the scriptures that God calls a man to and commissions him to go and yet warns him. You know, I think about Jeremiah. He called Jeremiah and he says, now Jeremiah, listen, I just want you to know on the outset that the people aren't going to listen to you, okay? In fact, the people are going to fight against you, but listen, Jeremiah, it's not your fault, okay? They're not, don't take it personal. They're not rejecting you. They have rejected me. You see, it wasn't that they hated Jeremiah. They hated the true and living God. And listen, Jesus says, this is for my name's sake. And we need to be careful that we don't take it personal. And listen, don't take it personal in how you receive it. Don't take it personal in how you respond to their hatred. And by the way, don't take it personal how you relate, how you tell others about what is happening. And listen, don't make it about you. It's not about you. It's for his name's sake. And it's because of him. And it's not you and your great suffering for the cause of the gospel. See, all their hatred flows from their wicked heart. Jesus addresses that. Look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. See, verse 22, they have no cloak for their sin. They've heard the words, and yet they have rejected. They've seen the works, and yet they have rejected me. They hate me. Listen, when did the Jews ever show appreciation for Jesus' miracles? You know, when Jesus healed the lame man, they harassed that man to no end for carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. You know, the blind man, when he wouldn't denounce Jesus Christ, they kicked him out of the synagogue. The Bible says about Lazarus, you know, for the crime of obeying Jesus when he was called from the grave, okay? That was Lazarus' crime. They plotted to kill him. You see, they never showed any appreciation for anything that Jesus did. And Jesus says, listen, all of that flows from their wicked heart. This is why the world hates us. But listen, my friend, we don't hate them back. We don't hate them. Listen, their hatred flows from their wicked heart, but they don't know God. They might claim to know God, but they don't know God. And it's spiritual ignorance, and that's why we pity them. We have compassion on them. And we love them even as our enemies. That's why we pray for them. That's why we do good to them. That's why we give them the gospel so they can know the light know the love that Christ has for them, even though they act out of spiritual ignorance. You know, Jesus makes it very clear that they have no excuse. There's no cloak for their sin. There's no covering it. Oh, sure, they were hiding. The Pharisees were hiding who they were and had been, no doubt, for many, many years, decades, even generations. But Jesus has come, and now Jesus has exposed who they were. There's no covering for their sin. See, now they're responsible for their hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're responsible for their hatred of the light. They're responsible for their hatred of Christians. And Jesus makes that clear. So how do we respond to their hatred? Well, what we don't do is distance ourselves from Christ. And somehow think that we can have two masters, that we can be friends to both this world and the Lord Jesus Christ. So many Christians in the culture, in the world in which we live, they just try to duck and keep their head low. They try to hide who they are, and they obscure their connection to Christ, and they don't speak up, and they don't speak truth. And listen, what we don't do is refuse to shine the light of God's Word into this wicked world. You see, we remind ourselves, listen, this persecution, it comes with the territory. It comes with friendship with Christ. See, James chapter 4, in verse 4, James writes, "Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Jesus draws the lines for us very, very clear here. Friendship with me will put you at odds with the world. And when that happens, just know that they hated me before they hated you. They don't hate you because of who you are. Don't take it personal. It's for my name's sake. Listen, take your pick. Take your pick. Either you will love God and be a friend of Christ, or you will love this world. You will try to be a friend of this world. Listen, you are not going to do what millions of professed Christians have tried to do. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and still keep this world happy. Be a friend of this world. Appease this world. Listen, let's not seek the love of those that hate Him. Let's not seek friendship with this world. Love not the world, John writes in 1 John chapter 2. You see, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world you. Listen, my friend, our friendship with Christ, yes, it has repercussions. But I want to remind us that the hatred of this world might last for a few years, a few decades. But eventually our life, our time on this earth is going to be over. And we're going to get to be friends with Christ for all of eternity. All the blessedness of being His friend. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.